It caught the blood that fell. It bore the weight of the sins of the world, and the Son of God as well.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's stand together and we'll sing some praises to that to our Savior who walked that road to Calvary. Oh, praise the name. I was in the book of Daniel, and Daniel chapter number 6, we find the story of when the rulers were jealous of Daniel, and they tried to find something to catch him. And of course, they catch him praying, and the consequences for praying was death, the equivalence of death, being cast in the lion's den. And Daniel 6 verse 16, the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And I can almost hear a little bit of a shake in his voice. You know, he hoped Daniel's God would save him, but I don't know if the king really had confidence. In verse 17, the Bible says, a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den. The king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. And then the king arose very early in the morning, went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? He had that question. He didn't know. He didn't know if Daniel would have survived. He didn't know if the God that Daniel had prayed to would have been able to spare him. And in verse 21, he found relief. Then Daniel said unto the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouth, and they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocence was found in me, and also before thee, O king, I have done no hurt. This king was exceeding glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. In verse 23, the Bible says, So Daniel was taken out of the den. No manner was hurt found upon him, because he believed in his God. And so we're talking about praising the name. You know, we often read that story and we might stop right there. Oh, Daniel was saved, and we know that the rulers were cast in after him. But a really cool part to the end of that story is found in verse 25. Then King Darius wrote unto all the people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth. And this is what he said. Peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree. All right, I make a command. I make this proclamation. Then every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and steadfast forever. His kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth, he rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. We often think of the story of Daniel and the lions, and we think it's about Daniel, but it's not. It's about the power of God. It's that God would spare him because he had faith, that he believed in God. And then ultimately, and I believe maybe one of the purposes God did that, is now what the king has proclaimed. Praise the name of the God, the living God, who rescues, who will not be destroyed. And just thinking about that is the God that we are praying to, that we are praising. Praise the name. That's the God that we are serving. Let's pray together. Lord, we do love you. I thank you for the story of Daniel. I thank you for the power that you displayed, that you would spare him because he believed in you. God, we thank you that your name was praised all throughout that kingdom. By that royal proclamation. God, I pray that we would worship you and we would praise you today with the same conviction. God, we pray that you would bless our service, our worship time together. I pray that as tithes and offerings are given, whether today or during the week, God, that you'd use those for your ministry here at the church and around the world. God, we thank you for your love for us. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. We'll sing another song. We'll sing Ancient of Days. Think about who God is. He's never had a beginning. He'll never have an ending. We'll sing about that this morning.
Thank you.
second verse up again. Just think about this. Though the dead of night overwhelms my soul, He is here with me. I am not alone. And His love is sure, and He knows my name. Aren't you glad that the God of the universe knows your name? He knows when you're in bed and you can't sleep and your mind's racing. God's there. God knows. We're going to sing that second verse again. For my God is the Ancient of Days. He knows my name. Though the dread of night overwhelms. That's my favorite line, that God knows my name and that He is the Ancient of Days. Let's sing All Hail the Power. We don't serve a dead God. We don't serve a weak God. We serve a powerful God in heaven.
Three.
first thing. I'll sing the mighty power of God. Think just how good He is to us, how powerful He is.
Dream your dreams, chase your heart above all else. The name the world remembers. But all an empty world can tell is empty dreams. I got lost in the lie, but it was up to me to make a name the world remembers. Jesus is the only name to remember. Trophies won will crumble into dust when it's said and done. 'Cause all that really matters. Did I live the truth to the ones I love? Was my life the proof that there is only one whose name will last forever? And I is the only name to remember and hide. I don't want to leave a legacy. I don't care if they remember me. Only Jesus.
It's a great thought that none of us should really, at the end of the day, it's not about our legacy. You know, 100 years from now, they shouldn't remember Calvin Baker. They probably won't remember Calvin Baker. But if I can get someone to remember Jesus, that's our goal. Awesome song. This time we're going to dismiss our boys and girls for junior church with a word of prayer. Lord, we do love you. God, we thank you already for the time that we've worshipped you. God, I pray that you'd be pleased and honored as we lift you up. God, I pray now for our junior church time with the kids. I pray that you'd be with the workers, be with the preacher as your word is opened. I pray the Holy Spirit would work in their hearts and lives. God, we pray for Pastor Roberts as well as he brings our message this morning, that you'd speak to our hearts. God, help us to be humble. Help us to be willing to do whatever it is that the Holy Spirit might call us to do. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
Well, good morning. Take your Bibles with me today and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5. First Thessalonians chapter 5, I will draw your attention just to chapter 4 and verse 13 before we get into chapter 5. And the Apostle Paul, writing to the church in Thessalonica, said this to them. He said, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep." And this is what his concern was, "that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." You know, there's going to come a time in our life, maybe you're facing a time like this in your life here today, but maybe you're going to face a time, or you faced it in the past, when you didn't know what was going to happen. Your future was uncertain. And those times come. And when those times come, we need something to hang on to, something to ground us. And I believe that we have something, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He grounds us in those times of uncertainty. In times when the future seems to be obscure or hidden, or in certain times, we might say, we can find safety and security in the mind of our minds in the Lord Jesus Christ. There was a family that was living in Haiti in 2010 when the earthquake hit in January. And they were able to have contacts and money to leave Haiti and kind of get out of that devastation that they were facing while going through that. And they thought, well, we got family in South America, down in Argentina, and we'll just go and be with them. And so they were able to arrange all the traveling and all the logistics and able to get to Argentina there in 2010, in about January, a couple of weeks after the earthquake in Haiti. But little did they know that they placed themselves right in the middle of the largest, worst earthquake of that we know of. And that was in February of 2010, the earthquake that hit South America. And so what they thought they were doing was best, rational, logical, let's get out of one disaster, but actually what they were doing, they were going to another one. And you know, that's something that we have to be careful of in our Christian life. Because sometimes if we're not careful, we can leave one disaster and be right in the middle of another one. And that's why it's so important that we have the Lord Jesus Christ to direct us in times of uncertainty. Let me ask you this question today. How do you respond to a great uncertainty in your life? How do you respond to that? Before we go any farther, let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for our Savior, Jesus Christ. And Lord, the times of uncertainty that we face, we have a Savior who directs and is so graciously calms us and is able to bring insight and wisdom into our life. So, Father, we pray that you would bless our service today. Bless the teaching of the Word of God. Bless our pastor as he's away today. May you bless him and his family and just supply their needs today. And, Lord, we pray that you would be with us today as we look into your Word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, Paul, he saw that the Thessalonians were struggling with some uncertainty. And one uncertainty was, is that they were afraid that they would never see their loved ones again that were in the Lord. Another uncertainty they had was that they were fearing that they were going to face and go through the wrath of God that was prophesied to them in their future. And the Apostle Paul, in his letter, verses 13 to 18, when it came to whether or not they received their loved ones again who had passed away, the answer was yes, they would see them again. And there's a coming time of the coming of the Lord when we will be with him. So they were going to see them again. That was a comfort to them. But when it came to the coming judgment that someone had said that they were going to face and go through, Paul said, no. You're not going to go through that wrath. That's something you don't have to worry about because of our salvation in Jesus Christ, our Lord. And they did not have to worry about that. Then he picks up here in verse 4. And we notice some guidelines, some instructions when we are facing an uncertainty. Because let's remind ourselves, we live in a sinful world. We live in a fallen world, where the curse of sin is still on this world. And therefore, there are going to be times in our life that we're going to face some things that we don't know what to do or how to handle them. But praise the Lord, Paul here gives us some help, gives us some guidelines to help us to remain rational, to remain steadfast in our faith when maybe the world around us is not being rational. And it is not. They're acting irrational. But we can act rationally because of what we know in Scripture. And Paul gives us some guidelines here, and I have three of them for us tonight, or rather today, to help us out in our lives. So let's take a look at these. Number one, the first thing he gives us is to guard your mind. Guard your mind, or in other words, be sober. Be sober. And we pick up here in chapter 5 and verse 4. He says, but ye brethren are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are the children of light and the children of the day. Ye are not of the night nor of darkness. So what's he doing here right off the bat there? Let's just stop there for a moment before we go farther. He's relating and he's giving a illustration. And what's the illustration is that we as saved people, we as the children of God, those who know Jesus Christ as Savior, we're of the light. We have the light. We are saved and the light of life lives within us. And we have that light. And we are not in darkness. We're not in darkness when it comes to the fact that we're lost. We are saved. And we've been saved to eternal life. We're not in darkness because we have the truth. The truth. And what is that truth? Well, we have the truth of the Word of God that sheds light along our path, as it says over in the book of Psalms. We have the light to guide and direct us, that we can walk in light, knowing what is right, knowing what is wrong in our life. Therefore, we have this ability to guard our minds against error. Because wherever we look today, we see error. And we have that in our, we have that. We are the children of the light. We are not of the darkness. Let's go on in verse 6. It says, therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. Even among Christians, even among, when I say Christians, I mean people who are saved, know Christ as Savior. Even among Christians, there are Christians who are not walking in the truth as they should be because of one reason or another, because maybe a misinterpretation of Scripture, or maybe because they are backslidden and refusing to follow what God has said. And these folks are in sleep. They're in this kind of spiritual lethargy, and they're not understanding some of these things. But we don't have to be like that, the Bible says. We can have this, what he says in verse 6, let us watch and be sober. Meaning, let's understand. That word watch means an idea of understanding. We're understanding what's around us. We're looking. We're just not following blindly something that's not true. But we're watching. We're circumspect, sometimes the Bible says. Let's be circumspect. Let's understanding what's going on around us. And then he says, and be sober. Be sober. Meaning the idea of being temperate. Okay? Sometimes the word sober can reference you're not drunk. All right? You're not under the influence of alcohol, or you're not under the influence of a drug of some kind, but you're sober, meaning you are in self-control. That's what that means. He wants us, when it comes to our spiritual thoughts and to our minds, we need to be in self-control and not following something or listening to something that's going to cause us to go out of control and not follow accordingly. And so we're to be in control of ourselves. It's kind of like, in a spiritual way, the Apostle Paul is saying to the believers in Thessalonica, get a hold of yourself. So, have you ever heard that before? Or someone ever said to you, get a hold of yourself? Or maybe you had to say to yourself at a time in your life when you're going through a hard time, I just need to get a hold of myself. What does that mean? That means, don't act irrationally. Don't do something that you'll regret. Let's act in a rational way with whatever you're facing. Get a hold of yourself. And that's kind of what we see here in this scripture. If in modern technology or modern phraseology, is he saying, listen, let's get a hold of ourselves. When it comes to spiritual things, because What's the world? What's their reaction when things go wrong? When things don't go according to what they think, they tend to overreact. They tend to act irrational in certain things. And that's something we don't want to do as Christians. Why? Why don't I want to act irrationally? Why do I want to be in control of myself at all times? Because we have a testimony, right? We have a testimony. People know us as Christians, our neighbors, our people we work with, and people that are family members. We don't want to be irrational. We don't want them thinking, hey, there's another nut. We want to act in a way that we're going to uplift the Savior, Jesus Christ. And we're going to be able to be a good testimony of our Lord. We don't want to make a mistake. We don't have to look back 10 years down the road and say, wow, look what I did. I could have handled that better. Do you ever had that in your life? Do you ever think about that? You know, you're facing uncertainty, you're facing something, and you did something, and you look back and you say, boy, I wish I would have done a lot better. I wish I would have handled that in a better way. That happens to all of us, doesn't it? And so it's important that we are in self-control, especially when it comes to our spiritual life, especially when it comes to our walk with the Lord, because we represent the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice it says here In verse 7, "For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night." People out of control, people that are doing things because they're reacting to the situation instead of trusting the one who's in control, as we sang those songs today, this morning, about we have a God who's an Ancient of Days. What was that song saying? I'm in control. He's in control of it all. All through history, He's been in control. And He's controlled history up to now. I'm sure He can control our future ahead of us. The Ancient of Days. And that's what we're singing about. That's what we're worshiping about. So let's be sober, like a good soldier. Let's guard our mind. And that leads us to point number two here today. Point number two in my outline is gird your armor. Gird your armor. Let's guard our minds, number one. Let's gird our armor, number two. Let's be a good soldier. Notice it says in verse 8, "But let us," all right, us as believers, us as Christians, "who are of the day, are saved, be sober," all right, we're in control. So we're born again. We have the testimony of Christ. We're thinking properly. The next step, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. All right, this is the next step. Why is it important that we gird ourselves with this armor? Because like a good soldier, we want to be ready. That's what he's talking about here. All right. Now, we know that one of Paul's favorite illustration of the Christian was the soldier. He used it so many times. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 20. He described our defense against the enemy, against Satan. All right, one of our enemies that we face, he said, "Listen, you want to defend yourself against the enemy? You want to defend yourself in your life for Christ? Then put on the armor of God," right? Put on that armor so that you can defend yourself. And of course, the weapon that we have is the Word of God. And he talked about getting down and praying. Let's be a people of prayer. We're going to fight our battles on our knees. And we're going to do warfare. But we got to be good soldiers. He told Timothy over in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. He said, "Timothy, endure hardness like a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Meaning this, hey, one of the enemies that we have is not only Satan, but another enemy is you or me. We are our own worst enemies sometimes. And you know what? We like it soft sometimes. We get lazy sometimes. We don't want to do the hard work. We want to get lackadaisical in our attitude and in our life and in our ministry and our walk with the Lord. But listen, Paul reminds Timothy, don't you go soft. You endure the hardness. Keep at it. Don't quit. Be faithful. Like a good soldier. Soldiers are faithful. They're devoted. They're dedicated to the cause. Let's be faithful. And so we see here in this passage, again, as many others, he describes a soldier. And you know, in the first Roman world, the first century Roman world, when he mentions this, everybody knew what a soldier looked like. It was in their minds because there were soldiers everywhere. And so to describe a soldier saying these things immediately in their mind, they would have thought of a Roman soldier. And what does a soldier wear? Well, he mentions, first of all, the breastplate of faith and love. All right, this piece of armor that went from the neck all the way to the waist. All right, this piece of metal, the breastplate of faith and love. And they wore that. Why? Because they needed protection. If you're going to go into battle and you're going to do warfare, you need protection. Especially in a literal war, in a physical war. There's going to be, you know, weapons being used against you, thrust at you, shot at you. And this is your, you know, the core here is your vital organs, right? That's your heart and all the other, the lungs and all the other organs that you have that if they're pierced or if they're hit, it could cause you to fall and die. It could be fatal. So therefore, put on the breastplate. Then he says to them, put on the helmet of salvation, the helmet, the hope of salvation. Of course, they would have immediately thought of the helmet of the Roman soldier and that helmet that was there to protect his head and to protect because the blows would come during battle. So what do these things represent us today? What is he talking about? The breastplate of faith, the breastplate of love, and the hope of salvation. Well, two things. Number one, I believe in this passage he's talking about being ready, being prepared. Being prepared for what? Well, we know what. Because of chapter 4, verses 13 to 18, he talked about the coming of the Lord, which we today normally referred to as the rapture. Okay, the coming of the Lord, where we'll meet him in the air. And we sung about that this morning, praise the Lord. Meeting our Lord in the air, the coming of Christ, which is a major doctrine of the New Testament. All right, we believe that. We believe he's coming again because he promised that he did. Is that, that's what he told his disciples the night he was betrayed. The night that he told them about his crucifixion, the night that he kneeled down and washed their feet, he said, listen, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me, for in my Father's house are many mansions. And then he goes on to say, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. The coming of the Lord. We know that he's coming again. And so we need to be ready, prepared. Are you prepared for the Lord's coming? If he was to come today, would you be ready? Well, some things can help us be ready. How about our faith? Our faith in the promises of God. Do you really believe he's coming again? Or do we just say that? Oh, well, he's coming again. Amen. Or is it, yeah, he's coming again. It could be today. Do you really believe it? What's your faith? Not only that, do we really believe it? Is it really part of our faith? Are we hanging on to that? And also, what do we do with that? I believe it. Do I act like it? Do I really act like the Lord's coming again? Do I really show love to those around me? Because Jesus Christ could be coming at any time. And therefore, I want to be right with my brother. I don't want any odd against him or her. Because he could come today. Wouldn't it be terrible to be caught up to be with the Lord in the clouds and we have an odd against somebody? We have a problem with somebody? Do we really believe that? If we do, we're gonna show that in love. Are we trying to get out the gospel because we really believe the Lord's coming? Do we really believe he's coming again? Yeah. If we have the right faith and if we surely love one another and love others, then we'll live like it. We'll be ready. It'll come out in our actions and how we live. And not only that, but notice it says here for a hope of salvation. A hope. Notice it says in verse 9, for God hath not appointed us to wrath. Praise the Lord. I am so thankful that I'm not going to face an eternal fire. The Bible describes as the lake of fire. I'm not going to face that. Not because I don't deserve it, but because Jesus Christ paid that price for me. And I don't have to face that. And I can stand here knowing that I'm not going to face the wrath that is to come. So we're saved. And that's our hope, isn't it? That's the hope that we have, that we're not going to face that wrath. But you know what? There's another wrath that I believe that the apostle is talking about here. I think he's referring to another wrath. I think he's referring to the 7-year tribulation. I believe he's referring to a time of the Jeremiah describes as Jacob's trouble. The 70th week of Daniel, where God is going to pour out his wrath upon this world. And God has spared his church. He spared his bride. He has spared his body from going through that wrath. Now, that position I hold is called a pre-tribulational, all right? Pre-tribulational coming again of Christ. Now, I was reminded this week, not everybody agrees with me. I was reminded of that. And I was challenged on that. But that's okay. The main thing is, Jesus is coming again. And we're going to see him. And we're not going to go through that wrath. We've been spared that wrath. So therefore, because of that, I can trust my Lord. Jesus Christ is going to take care of me. He's going to supply my needs. Even though my future may seem uncertain, he is there for me. And I can be ready. Be ready. Not only ready for whenever he comes, but whatever my future holds, I can be ready like a good soldier, girded with my armor. And then point number 3, gracious to others. Gracious to others. Notice it says in verse 10, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. We need to be gracious. Be supportive of one another. Here we see the word comfort and the word edify. You know what that means? Edify means to build up. Let's build up. Because in our life, in our church, in our families, amongst our friends, we're gonna be able to minister to one another. We're going to be able to help one another. Because everybody suffers from uncertainty. For one reason or another, we all suffer from it. And when one of the body or one person in our body, one person in our church is suffering, isn't it good to have a support group that can come along and edify, build you up, come along and support you and comfort you in your time of need? That's the church. That's what the church is for, so that we can do that for one another. You know, sometimes people come to church because they want to hear something new. We're going to hear something new from the preacher? Are we going to get something that's obscure and hidden to our knowledge, and the preacher's going to have this ability and understanding to get into the Word of God and bring out those truths? Are we going to hear something new today? But you know, most of us, if we'll be honest with ourselves, we just need to be reminded. Be reminded of what the Bible tells us. Because that's really what we need. We need to be reminded God loves you. Be reminded that He cares for you. Be reminded that, yes, you may be feeling alone right now. You may be suffering right now. You may be going through a time of uncertainty. But I'm here to tell you, God is with you every step of the way. And He is there to support you and lift you up. And He'll send along His Holy Spirit. The Comforter is going to come along and walk that way with you, so that you'll have the strength you need to face that time in your life. That's what we need to hear. We need to hear what we many times know already, but we need that comfort. We need to be built up so that we can bring glory and honor to our Lord Jesus Christ. So this world will see that Christ is part of this place, it's part of our lives. Because, you know, one day, you know, I know sometimes the world looks at us and they see how we respond to certain things. And they say, you know what, that church, that Christian, in their minds, you know, and how they think, they say, they're a little unrational. They're a little irrational what they're doing. Why are they doing what they're doing? I mean, why do they go to church so much? Why are they every Sunday they're in church? Why are they giving so much? Why are they serving so much? Why are they doing all this? And they don't understand what we know. What do we know? We know that we have a Savior who loves us and cares for us. And we want to serve Him. We want to please Him. We want to honor Him in everything we do. And sometimes they don't understand that. And they think we're irrational. They think we're unreasonable. But we're not. We're right, according to the Word of God and what we have received in Jesus Christ. Because of our salvation, we can act reasonably and rationally when we are facing uncertain times. Maybe you've had a time that you're going through. You went through it and you thought, boy, I didn't do that well. I could have done better. Well, you know what? There's always a time to learn from our mistakes. And always a time to say, you know what? What can I learn from that past experience that will help me in the next experience? Or maybe the things that I learned, I can help someone else. And so that they don't make that same mistake. Because we need to realize that people around us, they need help. All around us, they need help. Even those here, maybe you're here this morning and you're not saved. You're facing an uncertain future. You don't know what's going to happen. Well, I'm here to tell you, if you're not saved and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Bible says you're going to go to a lost eternity. And you don't want that future. So if you're here today and you don't know Christ, or you're listening on our live stream today, and you're facing that future where you don't know where you'll spend eternity, I'm begging you, trust Christ as your Savior. Admit you're a sinner. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and confess your sins and ask Him to come into your heart and save you. And the Bible says He will. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You will not face that wrath to come. You will not face that future, but rather you'll have eternal life with Jesus Christ our Lord. Trust Him today. And then, Christian, let's trust our Lord. In time of uncertainty, let's follow these steps. Let's guard our minds. Let's be sober. Let's gird on the armor that we have. Be a good soldier. And let's be gracious to others. And be supportive of one another when others are going through uncertain times in their life. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear God and Heavenly Father, we thank You again. We thank You for our Savior, Jesus Christ. And Lord, we know we live in a day when there's so many things around us that are uncertain, that we don't know what the future holds. But Lord, we know we have a Savior. We have one who's with us, who does know the future. And He's there every step of the way to guide and direct us and to come alongside and comfort and edify in time of need. Maybe there's one here this morning and you don't know Christ as Savior. As I've said before, maybe you'll take the opportunity today and trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. We'll have an invitation and we're going to let the piano play. And during that time of invitation, you are welcome to come and someone can take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure you're going to heaven. Or maybe you're here this morning and you're going through an uncertain time and you need some encouragement. You need some comfort. Find some comfort in the Lord. Know that He's with you and He's there to strengthen you. Dear Lord, bless our time of invitation today. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand together. If God is speaking to your heart today, why don't you come? If you're here today and you're not saved and don't know Christ as your Savior, why don't you come? We'll have someone take a Bible and show you how to be saved. Maybe you want to just come this morning and pray. Going through an uncertain time, going through a difficult time, come to the altar. As people are coming, we'll watch, we'll wait and pray. Will you come? Anybody? Some have come, will you come?